Now, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. Adam Sterling with you once again on CFAX 1070. This is Thursday, June the 30th of the year 2022. Lots to talk about on the show as always, including the very latest on this, well, this attempted bank robbery, this shooting, two suspects dead, six police officers shot, and more questions arising than answers, it would seem. Yesterday, in fact, we had one of the people who were trapped in the bank named Shelley Fryer call into the show, share her story with us. After that, her story blew up. It's everywhere now. Folks learning about what's happening in the bank, a number of curious things and a number of questions being raised as to exactly what happened. Senate Mayor Fred Haines was on the show yesterday reacting to this, and he said something that caught my ear at the time that I think bears all of us keeping in mind as we attempt to better understand this tragedy, this awful event that happened in a relatively quiet area at a relatively small, nondescript bank on Shelbourne Street. Senate Mayor Fred Haines yesterday saying this.
I want to reassure the residents of the region that we're here for you. I was meeting today as I came into the office with the RCMP. They're on station right now across our region, making sure that our own station is secure, because we don't know. Was there
our own station, so i.e. the Saanich Police Department station.
Our own station is secure, because we don't know. Was there more planned? Yeah. Right now, there's a lot of unknowns, Adam. Was this a standalone?
Why would bank robbers target a police station, potentially?
And who would have thought a bank robbery on the peninsula of an island? That said, that's what our officers trained for.
And that's what they did, as their training provided. But a number of curious facts have been disclosed over the past 24 hours. Shelley Fryer calling in and talking about what happened.
Right on time, and okay. I had an appointment with the bank manager.
Okay, so it's 11 o'clock. You're parking your vehicle in the parking lot. You walk into the bank. What happens next?
And I just happened to sit down with the manager.
Yeah.
And we had spoken for probably 2 minutes, and all of a sudden there's a loud boom, like the loudest explosion.
Just one?
Just one.
Okay. What happens
and
then?
I said, and then it's dead silent. And I said, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And he said, we're being robbed.
The gunman, the descriptions. Listen.
Silent. And everybody, I can see that everyone's gotten down on the floor, that no one has spoken. We hear no voices. And I look up in the doorway, and not even 2 feet away from me is a man, I'm assuming, in full assault gear, holding an assault rifle, just standing there.
How was he dressed? Could you see his face?
No. He had on a...
I've had some people pose... In fact, any number of people are posing different theories. What was going on here? One of them that I've heard is, was this suicide by cop? Were these guys trying to get shot by the police? I don't think that's very likely, texters who have been sending me that theory. If they were planning on dying here, I don't see why they would take so many steps to try to conceal their identities. We have testimony from this witness suggesting that they were being economical in terms of what they were saying. They weren't saying a lot. They weren't saying it loudly. Also, steps were taken to conceal at least one of their faces, suggesting that they were planning on leaving this place when all was said and done.
Like a balaclava, but it's a different kind of a balaclava, but fully covered with body armor, vest, and his calves were covered with something, motorcycle.
It is odd that they would be wearing motorcycle gear or hockey gear, though, as Rob Buffum called it earlier today, like hockey pants. Like, that's not the sort of thing that you would expect from, say, a paramilitary-trained individual. That's more sort of gangster trying to look scary kind of stuff, potentially.
To equated it to something like a motorcycle calf covering,
yeah.
But it's not that.
Okay.
Straps across it looked like you could have had knives on either side. I only say that just because I used to scuba dive, and it looked like he had something on either side of his calf. I told the police this in an interview.
Yeah.
The
one thing that Shelley Fryer told us that sticks with me is the demeanor of the would-be bank robbers. They were calm.
Calm. The energy from them was completely calm. There was calm voices. When they did speak, it was just calm voices.
What did they tell you?
The manager knew right away. The guy said, vault. And the manager said, here's the keys. And he said, move. Like, just pointed him. Like, and he just came with him.
So wearing the balaclava and also not talking more than is necessary.
Yeah, I just walked out of his office.
Okay.
Left me there in the office. And so there was not a word. It was so silent. And I could just see from the shadows in the glass of the doors in that Bank of Montreal that there was, everybody was like on the ground, and I could see I could only see one person at a time, but I could hear another, like a voice.
Yes.
Like, a very, very soft voice, like almost whispering voice.
Mm-hmm.
Not crazy like it's on the movies or anything.
Okay. So not yelling, again, soft whispering, face concealed.
And he was pacing, like just walking.
See, that's also interesting as well. Now, that's a sign of agitation when an individual walks back and forth and paces, even if they're not otherwise outwardly exhibiting that they're feeling anxiety, frustration, or something like that. But that could be a sign that they're waiting for something, as Shelley Fryer said.
And he was pacing, like just walking back and forth past the office that I was in.
Yes.
Like he was going for a walk in the park, just pacing.
See, that's an interesting behavior given the situation.
Yes. Calmly back and forth, as if he was waiting for something.
Now, it could be that the safe or the vault was not able to dispense funds until a certain time had transpired. That's possible, but I don't think that's the most likely explanation for that. Anyway, then Shelley Fryer told us that she managed to call 911.
I was trying to hide by a chair, and I reached to my purse, and I grabbed the phone, and I called 911. And then I left it like an open line. And then just told them that there was two men with assault rifles and get the police there right away, and there was hostages.
She then told us, and this is interesting, she called it a hallway, but it might have actually been the vault. Why the employees would be put inside the vault, not entirely clear if that is the case. And again, we're dealing with one account here. We're trying to understand what we're being told.
Then I heard another voice tell everybody to get up and go into the vault, but they forgot about me. So for a while, they had missed me. I had been trying to hide, and then he kept facing this one person back and forth. And then I was trying to hide, and I guess he saw me because he stood there, looked at me, and motioned with a hand gesture to get up.
What did you do? That's a pretty calm response. Now, I'm just going to say, now, I've never robbed a bank before, but I imagine that if circumstance ever put me in that situation, I would probably be pretty darn jumpy going through something like that. That's not what I'm hearing from this account.
I slid the phone. Now you second guess yourself. I slid the phone sort of so he couldn't see it.
Yeah.
And so I left that open line for the police, slid my cell phone, and got up and followed him to where the other people were standing, which was a hallway, and everybody was standing lined up against the wall. I don't know if there was a vault or not, but stand up against the wall where you could not...
So she doesn't know if she was in the vault or if they were near the vault. It's possible that they could be, and if she was in the vault, I'm wondering if it would be bulletproof, i.e. from any bullets fired outside. That's unclear at this point, exactly where they were in the structure.
I don't see anything at all that was transpiring.
And then, of course, all hell breaks loose.
It was announced, a loud voice, police, and then a hail of gunfire. And everybody ran to a room. I guess the employees know that there's a file room to hide in. I guess they're trained for this type of stuff.
Yes.
I went to a room that was right in front of me.
All right. We had an update yesterday from the chief of the Saanich Fire Department, or excuse me, the Saanich Police Department, as well as RCMP Corporal, or excuse me, Sergeant. Sorry, he used to be a corporal. He's a sergeant now, Chris Manso. Vancouver Island Major Crime Unit has taken over the conduct of this investigation, and we're told that they're investigating an attempted murder. Now, are the only suspects both dead in the parking lot? Potentially. But there's a lot of questions here, and there's a lot of things that don't quite add up. We're told that there is an explosive device located inside a vehicle linked to these suspects. Why would you bring along a bomb when you're trying to rob a little bank on Shelbourne Street? What purpose could that possibly serve? That's among many questions that's arisen in all this. I'm going to take a quick break. We're going to review the audio from what we heard yesterday from Chief Duthie, as well as Sergeant Mansell. And then we're going to try to figure out where this might go next here on CFAX 1070 as we seek to better understand this bizarre and tragic incident that has gripped this community. Quick break. We're back in a moment.
Keeping you informed, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Hi, Adam. A texter writes at 1070:10, in viewing the video where the white van drives by and is subsequently fired at, my guess, those inside the bank were waiting on that vehicle to pick them up. Shelley said they seemed to be waiting about 15 to 20 minutes, seemingly doing nothing. My understanding, texter, is that white van was a police vehicle. Now, it was not the Teradyne Gherkin armored rescue vehicle that would be highly bullet resistant. You know, people that don't like the police, they call it the tank because they want to paint the police as militaristic and wasteful because they're trying to justify having their budget reduced. But there's a lot of questions here. There's a lot of things that don't quite add up, don't make sense. For those of you just joining us, Fred Haynes yesterday, Mayor of Saanich.
I was meeting today as I came into the office with the RCMP. They're on station right now across our region, making sure that our own station is secure, because we don't know. Was there more planned? Yeah. Right now, there's a lot of unknowns, Adam. Was this a standalone? And who would have thought a bank robbery on a peninsula of an island?
Now, I think it's entirely rational for police to be cautious here. However, if this was just a bank robbery, why would we have to fortify the Saanich Police Department? Unless we had reason to believe that there was a motive or some sort of influencing factor here that meant that the bank might not have been the target. Was it police who were the target? That's a question that is surely going to be on the minds of some as we seek to understand this heinous incident. Here's the press conference yesterday, Chief Saanich Police.
At approximately 11 a.m. on Tuesday, June 28th, officers with the Saanich Police, GVERT, and Vic PD responded to a call that two armed men had entered a bank in the 3600 block of Shelburne Street in the municipality of Saanich. Multiple officers responded to the scene and encountered the armed suspects, who exchanged gunfire with police.
And indeed, we heard that dramatic video.
Oh my God, Holy dude. Oh my God. We are witnessing a f***ing bank robbery.
Holy.
Oh my.
It was announced, a loud voice, police, and then a hail of gunfire.
Chief Duthie said yesterday,
six GVERT officers suffered gunshot wounds and were transported to hospital in an emergency. Three officers have been released from hospital after receiving medical care and are now recovering at home with their families.
That's good news. We're told, though, that other officers required extensive surgeries.
Three officers sustained what were considered life-threatening injuries at the time of the incident. These officers remain in hospital following extensive surgeries.
And we wish them all the best. That's what yesterday's show was all about. Today's show is about trying to better understand this bizarre incident, given the facts that we can access in public at this time. This is the curious one. Why were there explosive devices? And I believe it's plural. My apologies if it was only one. Why would there be explosive devices in a vehicle nearby associated with the suspects? Why would they not have been brought into the bank initially if that was part of what was intended to happen at the bank? Why would they not have been brought in the interim, the 15 to 20 minutes that our witness told us they had waited? Why would the guy who was pacing back and forth haven't gone out and got one if that was part of the plan? This is an odd piece of evidence. The exact link to this crime, we don't actually know.
Explosive devices were discovered during the incident in a vehicle associated to the suspects.
Now, we don't know what the word associated means, specifically in this case. So there's a lot of latitude there.
Homes and businesses in close proximity to the scene of the incident had to be evacuated for safety.
For safety. There could have been a third suspect. There was information suggesting there could have been, but it was vague information. Police said yesterday they were acting in order to take precautions in the event there was a third suspect. But the fact that explosive devices were discovered in a vehicle associated. Now, the exact location of that vehicle is unknown to me. If anybody else knows that, I'd be curious to know. Was it there? Was it in the parking lot? Was it nearby? Was it registered to somebody? Associated can mean a lot of things.
Early this afternoon, the explosive devices were transported to Heartland Landfill Facility by EDU.
That's Explosive Disposal Unit, RCMP.
And safely destroyed. Some residents and businesses remain unable to return to their homes and places of work.
That's curious. Why? I suppose they could have bullet holes in them. That would be a very practical and real reason. Is it limited to that, though?
As officers continue to process the crime scene.
And what about that third suspect?
To investigate the potential of a third suspect involved in this incident. However, at this time, we do not have information to believe that there is a risk to the public.
My understanding is Shelley Fryer thought that she saw a third suspect. But again, this was a traumatic event. Memory is not like a recording. It's not like a videotape. What happens, and there's all sorts of academic literature on this, is the human brain encodes meaning. And that general meaning is reinterpreted each time a person remembers something. And because of that ambiguity in terms of the meaning of what took place being what the brain actually records, the imagination fills in the blanks every time. And it doesn't fill in the blanks the same way every time. So every time you remember something, you're technically reimagining it based on more vague meaning that your brain has encoded somewhere somehow. That means the more times you tell the story, the more variation you might get. So that's why it's important to record and take witness statements right after something happens, because you will expect that account to drift over time. It doesn't mean the person's lying or making anything up. It's just the way our brains fail to precisely record information and data.
The Vancouver Island Integrated Major Crime...
This is interesting.
...unit, known as VIMQ, has assumed conduct of the criminal investigation and will be the primary agency responsible for media inquiries about this investigation.
And then Chief Duthie reminding everyone what we were focusing on yesterday, the heroic conduct of the officers as the shooting started.
They ran towards live and active gunfire, while a human instinct is to run away from such imminent danger. Our motto at Saanich, you may know, is keeping Saanich safe. And that is exactly what these officers did yesterday during this incident.
Chief Duthie also thanking the community for rallying around them in this difficult time.
Our community has rallied behind us with letters, cards, phone calls, and acts of gesture that have really made a difference. For this, I thank you.
Chief Duthie also thanking everyone for what's happening. Now, Sergeant Chris Manso then takes the podium. Sergeant Manso representing VIMQ, Vancouver Island Major Crime Unit, who are investigating this matter as, at this time, an attempted murder, which is interesting. Who is the target specifically? Do they mean the police officers that arrived? Was there somebody in the bank? Is there a third person? We don't know the answers to any of these right now. I'm telling you what we do not know in order to hopefully ward off any misunderstandings at this time. There's a lot of unanswered questions here.
The Vancouver Island Integrated Major Crime Unit has taken over the investigation into any criminal activities that occurred yesterday during the attempted bank robbery and subsequent gunfire in Saanich yesterday. The investigation will run concurrently to the Independent Investigation Office.
The IIO has to investigate. Anytime somebody dies in any interaction with the police, the IIO automatically investigates. So we're going to respect that process and allow it to unfold in the way that is necessary.
This investigation, which is looking at police actions that took place on June 28th, 2022.
Sergeant Manso also saying.
VIMQ investigators deployed to the scene yesterday and have been actively involved in what is an attempted murder investigation.
See, that's curious.
Is an attempted murder investigation. The VIMQ investigation is currently in the extreme early stages, and investigators are prioritizing their efforts to task as they gather digital and physical evidence at scene.
It's important to gather that now, because once it's gone, it's gone.
I don't know the identity of the suspect.
Now, this is interesting. This is also very interesting. From what I've read at multiple sources and also seen at the press conference yesterday, it's not that they refuse to disclose the identities of the suspects. It's that they don't know who the suspects are, or at least didn't know in the early hours or the early day of the investigation. How is that possible in the year 2022 that a human being can't be almost instantly identified? No phone, I guess, no ID. Surely you could run their fingerprints through a database if this person had a criminal history. I don't know how long that takes, but for them to say they don't know who these guys are, that in and of itself is weird. Like, there have been supposition, like, what if this was one of the campers or one of the shelter residents at Mount Tolley? No, they would instantly know who that was. They would instantly ID that person. So it's not that. See, all sorts of folks in this town who cause problems are known to police. Now, that doesn't mean that they're automatically presumed to be guilty, but police know who they are. For these guys not to be easily and readily identifiable is itself curious.
We're still trying to confirm those with various sources, so we're still working through that.
Why did they have a bomb? Why did they have the kit? Were they hoping that police would come from far and wide and there'd be an explosive device waiting for them? That's one of the questions that I've had somebody ask me. We don't know. There's a lot of things we don't know at this point. I'll tell you one thing, though. This is not like any simple bank robbery I have ever covered in this town during my career. And I've had a lot of police officers say publicly over the past few days they've never seen anything exactly like this during their careers either in a place like Victoria. Very, very rare. We're going to take a quick break. More information and more questions after this.
Now, Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
Texture at 1070-10 writes, in their opinion, the willingness of these suspects to shoot at the police, in their opinion, suggests that it wasn't just a robbery. But I think we know that, one texter says. Here's what I know. This is not an ordinary bank robbery. We know that simply because there were six police officers shot. When was the last time that happened here in Victoria? Why a little sleepy Bank of Montreal branch? Now, I don't want to run it down, but why there, of all places, in Saanich? Why was there a bomb, or as we have been told, explosive devices, and the plural is used here?
Explosive devices were discovered during the incident.
Notice he doesn't say suspected, he says explosive devices. And I assume that EDU professionals were able to verify that, and it would also be abundantly clear during the process where they would destroy the explosives by detonating them at Heartland Landfill. So there was a bomb, or bombs, in a vehicle associated with the suspects. There was a white sedan, I believe it was, in the parking lot directly south of the structure at the BMO off of Shelbourne. If that's the vehicle that they're talking about, then it means that there were explosive devices in the car in the parking lot right outside the building. Why would they be there? What would they do? That's a question that I have that I haven't had answered yet.
Explosive devices were discovered during the incident in a vehicle associated to the suspects. Homes and businesses in close proximity to the scene of the incident had to be evacuated for safety.
All right, back to Sergeant Mansell with VIMQ.
VIMQ investigators deployed to the scene yesterday and have been actively involved in what is an attempted murder investigation.
Who is the target, I wonder?
The VIMQ investigation is currently in the extreme...
Because if we engage in supposition here, and, like, let's say the cops shot first. I'm not saying that, by the way. But let's, like, there would be some doubt as to exactly how this exchange of gunfire started. Would that be investigated as an attempted murder case necessarily? I'm not actually sure. But I think it's interesting that's what's being investigated here.
Is an attempted murder investigation. The VIMQ investigation is currently in the extreme early stages.
And the car, the white one, with the black racing stripes, that may be the vehicle associated with the suspect, if the explosive devices were in there, was it parked in such a way as to be likely to be within the blast radius as police arrived? That's something I do not know, but that's also a piece of evidence that may be pertinent here.
And investigators are prioritizing their efforts to task as they gather digital and physical evidence at scene.
And again, he says that he doesn't know the identity of the suspects. Now, if police know who the suspects are, but they're just not releasing it, that would be actually quite common. Like, that would be completely understandable. That would not be unusual. But if police really haven't been able to ID them yet, that's weird.
I don't know the identity of the suspects. We're still trying to confirm those with various sources, so we're still working through that.
If it was a local, they'd probably know who it is. Like, police, the pool of individuals who are known to commit crimes like this is not very huge compared to the overall general public. There are individuals who are known to police, and it sounds like whoever these guys were, these robbers were, this wasn't their first time. And that's based on Shelley Fryer's assessment of what was happening in terms of the calmness of that situation. You would think that police would know who these guys are, having a body that they can fingerprint, that they can look for identifying marks. Is there ID? What about the car? Who is it registered to? It shouldn't be that hard. What kind of firearms were used? Sergeant Manso yesterday says he doesn't have that information.
Firearms were used in this incident, but the specifics to it, I don't have those details, and there's all of our members are still working on identifying the make and the caliber. So, sorry.
So we don't have that information. Sergeant Manso talking about, again, the prospect of the third suspect, who, again, we don't know if they actually existed or not.
Even the possibility of that third person, if you have that information, please come forward to our investigators to make sure that we have all available information.
I would like more information on what they mean by explosive devices. That's the term that Chief Duffy used.
Explosive devices were discovered during...
Well, what does that mean? Can you tell us about it?
So the types of explosives and what their intentions were, we don't know. That's exactly what VIMQ is trying to work through.
So we don't know if it was a bomb per se. I said bomb earlier just as an ordinary term for an explosive device, but it wasn't necessarily a bomb. Explosive device can actually mean a number of different things. So I also want to be clear about that as we attempt to better understand this.
Their intentions were, we don't know. That's exactly what VIMQ is trying to work through right now.
So they don't know what they were.
Their intentions were, we don't know. That's exactly what VIMQ is trying to work through right now. That information may come forward in the future, or that may form part of the investigation, or we may never know. I'm sorry.
Okay. And?
In my policing career, transporting explosives is what the explosive disposal unit does. They are aware of what the risks are, and to take it to a safe place and take care of them safely is the best option in all cases.
And that's what happened. The EDU techs took the explosive devices. Again, we don't know exactly what that is or what that means, to Heartland Landfill, where we're told that they were safely disposed of. And that would be, in terms of what would ordinarily happen, that's the expected procedure. Yeah, there's a lot of questions here. A lot of questions. So if anybody knows anything, obviously you want to contact your local police department, report that information. The Vancouver Island Major Crime Unit has taken over the conduct of this investigation. The IIO is also conducting a parallel investigation. And again, our thoughts and our support are with police officers who ran towards the fire as that hailstorm of bullets started. And the more I hear about this, the more I hear that there were explosive devices found in a vehicle that may have been adjacent to that structure, the more I think that we're lucky that there weren't a whole lot more police officers potentially injured. You know, you rob a bank and police come from far and wide, from everywhere. What would have happened if even more police had shown up and something had happened with those explosive devices? Like, that's a chilling prospect that thankfully we did not see unfold. But it's one of many questions that I have seen raised over the last 24 hours that I do not yet have a compelling answer for. We were faced with a mystery, unfortunately, and that makes it very difficult because it's a very painful, very shocking event that's happening in our community, and it's one that's difficult to understand the motive for, and it's also one that's difficult to understand even exactly what has happened here. But we'll continue to follow it because we need to know what happened. The public has an interest in obviously knowing what is happening, and we also need to know what happened so we can take appropriate steps to make sure that it doesn't happen again. I want to take a quick break. 250-386-1161, *1070, a free call on your wireless device. And we'll take some open line calls after this.
This is Adam Sterling on CFAX 1070.
A lot more questions than answers right now. We're going to allow the Vancouver Island Major Crime Unit the space and the time that it needs to do its job. We're going to express our support for members of Saanich Police, members of the Victoria Police Department, as they convalesce from those gunshot wound injuries. And we're going to watch and wait, I guess, in terms of what might happen next. Was this an isolated incident? Were those two that are now dead the only ones involved? Were they acting on behalf of unknown persons? And if so, will those unknown persons attempt similar actions in future using other? We don't know any of this. So there's a lot of questions remaining at this point. 250-386-1161 as we attempt to understand this really awful event. It's happened in our community. John's up. Hey, John, you're on the air. How you doing?
I'm good. Adam, you want another piece of the puzzle?
Yeah.
I ride a bike through the Saanich parking lot of the police.
When was this?
No, I ride every day.
Okay.
And so they put the fencing around all the police cars at the back of the police station, about 15 feet, about 5 meters, wire link around the parking lot.
When was this?
Was done like 2 weeks ago.
So it was before this?
Yeah, just recently.
Okay, so it wasn't because of this, though?
No. But you said, and the mayor said, we have to protect or something about the police station, right?
Yep.
So I give you the puzzle.
Well, unless they went back in time. Like, you're telling me this happened 2 weeks before the bank robbery, though, so it can't be because of the bank robbery, which means that we rule it out.
No, but if there was a planning and you said there was an attempt of murder...
I didn't say it was of police officers necessarily. We don't know who it was.
No, I know. But you said, and all they say, and all the explosive in the car was maybe to harm the police officers.
We don't know. Why else would somebody have an explosive device in a car? We don't know.
All right. Thanks.
All right. Bye. Okay, that's it? All right. Have a good day. 250, I'm not sure what that was about. That sounds like it wasn't relevant. 250-386-1161, let's go to Mike. Hey, Mike, you're on the air. How you doing?
Hey there. Just find it hard to believe that there was a SWAT team a couple of blocks away in the middle of an ordinary day in an ordinary neighborhood. No, I think that was something we need to find out about.
I actually don't know the nature of the call. I believe it was Cedar Hill and Church were the two roads that I remember seeing. In terms of the emergency response team. But I don't think they had the armored rescue vehicle. I didn't see the armored rescue vehicle in the beginning. It looks like they were in that white van. So I'm not exactly sure what call they were attending to or what they were doing as to why the response would have been faster. I know caller Bruce said the same thing yesterday, and I always disagree with everything Bruce says. It's usually just safer to do that. But I know he did get some elements of it right. I'm wondering what role that played in all this and whether or not the police arrived sooner than otherwise would have been expected because of that. Like, if it's true that there already was a call for GVERT, Greater Victoria Emergency Response Team, nearby that allowed them to divert resources and respond faster than would have otherwise be expected, did that mean that the bank robbers were surprised because the police response showed up faster than they were expecting? We don't know.
Yeah. It just seems really suspicious to me. Almost like they knew this was going to happen and that they were letting them go in the bank, maybe, you know, because they couldn't arrest them if they hadn't done anything yet. So, I don't know.
Yeah, it's a mystery. It really is, Mike. Like, we don't want to believe that things like this can happen in our community, and we want to believe that there was something out of the ordinary that we could have seen in advance that we could see again in order to ward off against this sort of thing. And whether or not there actually was, we don't know. But there's that very human instinct to want to look for warning signs that we can then learn and memorize and then watch out for in future.
Yeah. I got to go.
All right. Yeah, bye. Thank you. Bye. Thank you. Somebody just texted in and said they were doing a search warrant nearby. Yeah, they would never let this happen. A text writes me, no, I don't think they would. Like, if there was any indication that this was going to happen in advance, I fully expect that the police would have stopped this from happening. They certainly wouldn't have responded the way that they did if they actually had any warning that this was going to happen in advance. Texter at 107010 writes, if they're having trouble IDing them, in this texter's mind, that suggests that they're not from around here. Or possibly not from this country, et cetera, et cetera. We don't know. Hi, Adam, a texter writes, I think the gunman chose this location because it was not a busy location, so they could get the job done fast, and if it weren't for Shelley calling 911, what would have happened? We don't know for a fact that Shelley's call was the first signal that emergency responders had that something's wrong. Why am I saying that? Because it's very common for modern security infrastructure to include panic buttons and buttons that will call the police via a silent alarm in the event that you actually have a situation like this. Is it possible that despite the loud bang that Shelley heard, again, I'm not sure what that was. Was that a distraction device? Was that firing around into the ceiling? I don't know. It seems unlikely to me that nobody, including the manager who said we're being robbed, according to Shelley Fryer, by her own...
Right on time, and okay. I had an appointment with the bank manager.
Okay, so it's 11 o'clock. You're parking your vehicle in the parking lot. You walk into the bank. What happens next?
And I just happened to sit down with the manager.
Yeah.
And we had spoken for probably 2 minutes.
So call it 11:02, 11:03, 11:05, in case she's got the time a little wrong.
And all of a sudden, there's a loud boom, like the loudest.
That's what a firearm sounds like in an enclosed space. It would sound like a bomb going off to somebody who's not used to hearing gunshots, if that's what it was.
Explosion.
Just one?
Just one.
Okay. What happens
and
then?
I said, and then it's dead silent. And I said, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And he said, we're being robbed.
So at that point, we would expect, because of the training that's given personnel that work in banks, once there is an understanding that a robbery is taking place, we would expect any one of the, and there's no way that there'd just be one. There would be a number of them spread throughout the bank in terms of panic alarms or panic stations. We would expect somebody somewhere would hit the button. At that point, 911 dispatchers would get the signal. They would know that there was a call, and they would immediately start following up. It's important that Shelley called it in.
I was trying to hide by a chair, and I reached to my purse, and I grabbed the phone, and I called 911, and then I left it like an open line, and then just told them that there was two men with assault rifles, and get the police there right away, and there was hostages.
That happened later on, not only at 11 o'clock, so it was a few minutes after. I suspect that the silent alarm would have been tripped and would have called the police sooner, because Chief Duthie told us yesterday that it was shortly after 11 o'clock officers responded. I'm trying to get my head around all this, because there's something else here. You can feel it. Like I said, like, this doesn't add up. There's something else here that I feel like I'm missing. Somebody says this bank is regularly robbed. The last time was February 9th, 2022. Well, banks, unfortunately, are robbed not all the time, but they are quite frequent in this city. They're more frequent than you probably would realize. And, you know, the bad guy or whatever you want to use, or the suspect or the vulnerable person, or whatever you want to call them, usually gets some money, runs out the door because it's not worth anybody getting hurt. They're usually caught on CCTV footage. Police usually know who it is. They're like, oh yeah, it's so-and-so. And then they go and they find him wherever he's hiding this time. He gets arrested and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That's what ordinarily happens with a robbery or a bank robbery, so to speak. This was not an ordinary situation. Nothing about this seems to have been ordinary. I want to go to Myra next. Myra, you're on the air. How you doing?
Yes, hello, Adam. Just real quick, in response to the SWAT team showing up quick, I just want to say, a few years ago, I had to make a phone call for a father that was worried about his daughter in a very posh building in the Inner Harbor. And it was, you know, justified because her husband had troubles and nobody could reach her. They thought there was a real serious problem. So I phoned, and the police didn't show up, but a big SWAT team in no time flat.
Well, that's GVERT. That's the Greater Victoria Emergency Response Team, and they'll do that. Yeah. If they have reason to believe that somebody might be distressed, might have weapons. In fact, GVERT got called out not last night, but the night before, because there was a person who we're told was distressed, who managed to get onto the roof of a hotel on the 100 block of Douglas Street and could have jumped, depending on what happened. And that was in the aftermath of all of this. Like, the city never sleeps, and trouble never actually stops. So I assume that was either alternate members of GVERT that responded to that, or RCMP members who are providing assistance here would have responded to that.
It scared me because I was expecting police, and here they showed up with, you know, all their gear and one of those police to bang a door open and everything else. So anyways, I just thought I'd mention that. So they are on the ball.
Okay, Myra, thank you for that. I appreciate that. You have a good day, all right? Morning, Adam. A texter writes, great coverage here. It's helping me be less stressed about this bizarre situation. That's what I'm trying to do. When we don't understand something, automatically, we develop apprehension around it because we don't understand how it works. We can't mentally predict it. We can't anticipate negative outcomes by interacting with it. So our brain defaults to the, hey, caution mode, and you feel fear to avoid that situation, that person, that circumstance, et cetera, et cetera. By understanding something, even if you cannot control it, you can at least anticipate and predict what will happen next, which, of course, gives you a semblance of control. It's very disturbing. Texter writes, it's affected my well-being, and I wasn't even there. My heart goes out to everyone affected. Thank you again for covering this. Adam, of course, I've seen police cars speeding through traffic lights and sirens, but I have never seen eight police cars together with lights and sirens going in the same place. I still haven't heard anything about it on the news, says Dave, in terms of yesterday. Dave, it happens all the time. I'm sorry, it just does. It depends on where they all are at a given point of view. And actually, I've been asking around, and my understanding is that there was at least two calls probably yesterday, from Vic PD's jurisdiction about people who thought that they had seen firearms, turned out to be replicas. But again, we want to give police officers the time and the space that they need to do their job. So if there's something happening right there, don't crowd the police officers, for heaven's sakes. Everybody's on edge right now because nobody's exactly sure what happened, nor would I expect anybody to be sure of what happened. So in terms of that elevated police response texture that you saw, convinced that it might have something to do with this, I'm sure it does in terms of increased levels of vigilance being present in first responders because of what happened earlier this week. That doesn't mean that it was caused by anybody who was linked to what happened earlier this week, though. It's an important distinction that we make. I want to go next to Penny. Hey, Penny, how you doing?
Oh, hi. Let me just turn my radio down.
Thank you. I really appreciate that.
Maybe I have watched too many FBI movies.
I think we all have, Penny, so don't feel bad.
Okay, well, nobody's mentioned that little red car that they were smashing the windows in of.
I don't know anything about that. No.
Well, I saw it. I watched all the news things yesterday, the whole day, and twice we see two police officers, and I don't know if it was in the bank parking lot or where it was, smashing the windows of a little red car.
Well, if the vehicle that we heard Chief Duffy talk about that had explosive devices found inside it associated with the suspects was in that parking lot, and I was one of those attending officers, the first thing I would wonder is, are there other cars with bombs or explosive devices in them in this parking lot? So I would gain entry to those cars as fast as possible just to clear the scene to know whether or not there was a threat. That could be what we saw.
Also, people are saying, well, why would they pick that little bank? And here's my FBI thinking.
Yeah.
Maybe there was some kind of evidence in the vault of that bank that, you know, like I'm not talking money laundering, but something, maybe they wanted to get to that. And why have we not heard anything about the bank manager?
Well, we heard about the bank manager from Shelley Fryer. However, the bank manager is probably quite traumatized, as would all employees be, I suspect. Sure. The person would be expected to have space given to them. I'm thankful that we heard from Shelley Fryer, because often when this happens, it's a traumatic experience. It's unusual that we heard from someone. It's not unusual that everybody involved is being quiet otherwise.
Yeah. Okay, well, just my thoughts about what was in that vault other than money.
All right. And we're interested in getting to the truth here. We're also interested in giving law enforcement the support they need in order to conduct this investigation in an appropriate fashion. So law enforcement out there, you can trust me to be responsible with the conduct of how we're doing our coverage here. I want to reassure everybody that, as well as colleagues in the media. Our interest, of course, is to serve the public interest, which means that you have the space that you need to do your jobs without us, you know, tripping over anything, trying to understand stuff. It's just we've got a community right now that's afraid, a community that's not sure what happened. And because of that, our imaginations take over and we start imagining threats that might not actually exist. So I wanted to devote the first hour of the program today by talking about here's what we know, here's what we don't know. There's a million billion possible imaginary hypothetical scenarios that can explain any fact pattern of evidence. They just get increasingly unlikely and elaborate the further you get from the truth. But it's important right now for us to acknowledge that there are unanswered questions here. There are some facts that we have so far, but it's witness testimony, remember. The memory is not 100% reliable on the best of days. In a traumatic situation, it can get even worse. Remember, the human brain records general meaning. And an individual seeing a situation will have different meaning to them personally in that situation than another individual would, even if you're looking at exactly the same thing. What did it mean to that person? That's how memory is encoded and decoded. So it's entirely possible that some of the details we've heard from witness accounts so far may prove to either be inaccurate or contradicted by future evidence. That doesn't mean that all of it's unreliable. That just means we need to acknowledge the unknowns here and not jump to conclusions and also not live in fear. And if you know anything, you're asked to provide that information to investigators. Please and thank you. And again, law enforcement, you can trust us. Quick break. We're back right after this.